राजकुमारा अस्मानत्र शिशो सुकुमारा।
गोपाल चांपु, चैप्टर 13, डिफीटिंग कालिया, द फॉरेस्ट फायर।
अस्मानत्र शिशो सुकुमारा।
As on previous days, when the assembly met early in the morning, Madhukantha was eager to speak, but he began to reflect internally. Shukadeva has described the killing of Dainika directly after the description of Krishna starting to herd the cows, because it also deals with the same subject of herding the cows. This is actually said to have taken place at the end of Krishna's Bhogunda age, since on that day, a portion of Kaishora was manifesting when he entered his house. Therefore, this event took place after subduing Kaliya, though Shukadeva describes it before Kaliya's killing. This is made clear in the Hari Vamsa 213.1. After describing the subduing of Kaliya in that text, the killing of Dainika is described. Even by logic, the sequence becomes evident. Padma Purana clearly describes that Krishna began herding cows on the 8th waxing lunar day of the Kartik month, October. Tala fruits became ripe in Bhadra month, September. Therefore, Dainika was killed during Bhadra month when he was guarding the tala fruit. Therefore, I should describe Kaliya's defeat before describing the killing of Dainika. He began speaking aloud. Those who are famous as poets are not really poets. They describe matters of happiness as if they were events of great distress. Remaining silent, he then spoke again. He is the best among poets who, conquering all unfavorable topics before him, whether involving happiness or bravery, attains excellence in an unprecedented way, and who, singing of this continually in his heart, is not fully satisfied. Though the describing of the defeat of Kaliya is intolerable, all the events will bring happiness to people in the future. With that in mind, I will now describe it. Please listen. Requesting in this way, he began speaking while trembling. Since the cows were wandering everywhere, Balaram gave permission to Krishna to go to the lake of Kaliya, but not to go into its waters, since it was also according to instructions given by Yashoda. His constant desire to see this place had not decreased for a long time, because of his great curiosity and his great unimpaired strength, which showed intolerance of the influence of demons. One day, the birth constellation, Shravana, of Balaram, arrived like a guest coming to the assembly of Braj. Balaram was kept in the house in order that he takes an auspicious, joyful bath. Krishna, thinking of nourishing the pregnant cows, went out with his friends, but without Balaram, and came to a small forest. When lunchtime arrived, he took the opportunity to cheat others. Quickly, like an ocean of black nectar, he went towards Kaliya's lake in the black Jamuna, filled with poison which would kill others. The chief coward boys went in front of the cows. Seeing an area of grass which the cows had never eaten, out of curiosity, the boys delayed themselves for a short time. The cows, out of great thirst in the summer heat, began drinking the water mixed with the snake's poison. As soon as they drank the water, they fell unconscious. The boys in front, seeing this, began to lament. Desiring to give up their bodies, they also drank the water and fell unconscious. This was the working of Yogamaya alone, which makes the impossible destruction of demons possible. Immediately Krishna came and, seeing everyone unconscious, changed his complexion and began lamenting. The cows, like the inhabitants of Braj, are equivalent to devatas. The boys are equivalent to my life. They have all fallen into danger. What should I do? I am their only helper. What will I say to their mothers and fathers and all the people? what misfortune my impulsive nature gives. With his heart melting, Krishna glanced at all the boys and cows, his lips became moist, and his eyes filled with tears of great regret. The streams of tears falling on earth like drops of nectar revived the boys, but those who were not immediately in front of him did not regain consciousness immediately, since he wanted to see each person personally. When they were revived, they did not immediately think and move about. They realized that Krishna, moving here and there, had protected them from fainting from the poison of agha, and again they understood that he was the source of consciousness. Seeing them with disheveled clothing and sitting upright, he gathered them together and embraced each one. It is said that he has a natural quality which surpasses logic. Thinking of that quality, he immediately manifests many forms at once, meeting the boys. Their eyes filled with tears, their bodies became motionless and they lost consciousness. Their attempts at communicating became repeatedly useless. What is happiness? What is suffering? They remained without moving. They could not give each other up for a long time, even for a moment. Meeting the cows, mooing, the cows assembled and licked Krishna for a long time. They were eager to be with him, and their necks became splendid when he embraced them with his two arms. The boys then gave up embracing the cows' necks and remained standing there with eyes unsatisfied on drinking the brilliant nectar of Krishna's face. In that condition, there arose in Krishna intense emotion. Previously, Krishna, endowed with beauty, had been eager to kill the snake living in the water, who gave sorrow to the moving and non-moving beings on the shores of the river. But he remained silent, out of shyness, in front of the snake's wives. But now, unable to tolerate the approach of death to the cowards and cows, he became most angry. Hiding his feelings, he spoke, "O friends, look! The uncontrollable snake called Kaliya lives in this lake by stopping the motion of the water. By hissing, the snake makes the whole place poisonous. All places are afflicted by this burning poison. Afflicted by the poison, birds in the sky fall down. See this with your eyes. Out of fear of the snake who devours their life airs, the birds fall and cannot be revived. Though this kadamba tree that you see is also afflicted by the poison, because Garuda had sprinkled nectar on it, that tree alone remains splendid with beautiful leaves and buds. Even now, in a hole high up in the tree, the nectar remains. I will climb the tree and see. Go a little distance away and care for the cows." Speaking in this way, lotus-faced Krishna climbed the kadamba tree and, tightening his belt like a shining cloud of nectar, jumped into the abode of Kaliya to have some fun in the water, which appeared like another cloud by proximity to his body. He swam around in the water of the serpent lake measuring 400 hastas. For Krishna, who was the result of Nanda's pious acts, for Krishna who had unlimited power, such an action was not remarkable. For Krishna had reached the Bhagunda age. His body was not very strong, but near the snake, his body shone like 10,000 suns. His arms mocked the serpent by thrashing the water with sound, showing his prowess, which could restrain the elephant of the devatas. The family members of Kaliya could not tolerate his skill. Kaliya, in his playground, then approached Krishna, who was smiling because of the joy of playing, who is like an attractive dark cloud with his garland as a rainbow, his arms and legs as Indra's invisible rainbow, and his yellow cloth as lightning. Thinking he could crush Krishna with his coils, which were like the noose of Varuna, and with his poisonous, ravenous fangs, Kaliya was pride incarnate. To crush his pride, Yogamaya produced a shield to cover Krishna's body. Krishna jumped upon him and remained there. The snake's powerful hoods became powerless as a spider's web, and his poisonous fangs became like piles of cotton. But when Krishna, wearing a garland of Kadamba flowers, jumped from the Kadamba tree, his friends with agitated hearts cried out in sorrow and stumbled as they ran towards that place. The cows, along with their calves, also came running there. When his friends began to enter the water, the cows followed. Seeing the cows following them, the coward boys became disturbed and felt completely helpless. With burned-up bodies resembling sunken areas on the bank of the Yamuna, they maintained their lives only with the hope that Krishna would emerge from the water, just as he emerged from the stomach of Bakasura. The friends thought, "Is this the waking state? Is this a dream? Is this deep sleep? Have we fainted? Is this death? Or is this life?" They could not distinguish. The cows filled up the hearts of the boys with their rivers of tears, as if filling the lake with poison. When the boys had attained such a state externally, and were internally not functioning, the devatas produced natural calamities, on considering that no one would inform the people of Braj of such an unfortunate event. The people of Braj said, "Why is there such a disturbance in the heavens, sky, and on earth at this time? All these disturbances have arisen because of Krishna, the Lord of our lives." All the citizens, along with the leaders who had come to the assembly of Nanda to find a suitable place for eating on the occasion of Balaram's constellation celebration, became extremely agitated. Yashoda and the other women gave up shyness and came to that place. From a distance, she spoke, "Because Krishna went to that poisonous place without Balaram, there are many inauspicious omens. The time for returning has come, but Krishna has not arrived. How can the leader of the cowherds remain here contentedly, criticizing their bodies, houses, and all objects devoid of Krishna? They gave up the excellent food. They became devoid of life while going to the evil lake of Kaliya." Understanding Krishna's powers, Balaram remained happy. Though others were worried about the cause of the omens, Balaram did not seek their cause. He desired to speak. Otherwise, he would have been considered ignorant. Yogamaya produced suitable thoughts for him. He considered in his mind, repeatedly thinking systematically, "We can know that Krishna, who is like a forest fire for the evil persons who are like bamboo, cannot be killed by them. Since the inhabitants are maintained by great affection for him, on seeing evil omens, which are like thunderbolts, they worry for his life, and they make great attempts to go to him who is the cause of their life. Since they are like uncontrollable elephants who cannot tolerate the fire generated from forest wood and seek coolness, and whose foreheads ooze liquid because of rut, they will not listen if I oppose them. I am also afflicted in seeing that they are worried because of separation from Krishna and are now suffering. That suffering cannot be erased. If I acknowledge that suffering, it will become less, just as a blazing fire makes a small light insignificant. By recognizing their suffering, my suffering will become reduced. The best plan is to joke while thinking of the great auspiciousness. One must consider that they are thinking only of Krishna's welfare. I should not think of preventing them. Let them consider that I and Krishna have been one life till this time." Considering all this, he then suddenly laughed. Getting some comfort, the inhabitants began to move again. Thinking that the path was long, his eyes widened. They saw Krishna's footprints on the path. When the path became wet with their tears, they held the hand of Balaram. Taking his assistance, they continued moving. Though they tried to move quickly, they unfortunately moved slowly. Only with great difficulty they proceeded to the lake. I cannot fathom their internal state at that time. Seeing Krishna dancing on Kaliya's hoods, Nanda, the cowards, and the coward women became completely disturbed in heart. Their limbs dried up and became discolored. One would think that their internal fires were leaving their bodies. They experienced pain on seeing that humans had lost all intelligence and were behaving like animals, and animals were weeping like humans. As ice dries up ghee, the hearts of the people full of affection dried up because of fright. But as the sun melts ghee, they melted because of the heat generated by what they saw. Full of affection, they started to enter the poisonous lake like a wave. But Balaram, though a child, assumed great strength and quickly stopped them like a dam. He said, "O father, king of Braj, O queen of Braj, do I not have affection for Krishna? O mother Rohini, I know the truth about Krishna. Touching the effulgence of your lotus feet, I swear that not a hair on his head will be harmed. This is according to Gargamuni's words." In this way, Balaram held him, raising his excellent arms. Withdrawing from the poisonous lake, they perceived that their lives were even more seriously in danger, since they felt themselves in the midst of the poison on seeing Krishna there. When Krishna was in Kaliya's lake, the people of Gokul began weeping. Heaven wept, like an echo in reply, thus showing the derivation of the word Rodas, sky. The coward women, grasping each other's necks, wept loudly, but this weeping made the mothers remember how Krishna was saved from Putana, and this gave them comfort. Pained by their situation and seeing their attempt to enter the lake, Krishna angrily extended his limbs and began cutting the limbs of the snake. Quickly, the snake became limp and Krishna climbed upon him. When Krishna climbed on the snake, though Kaliya resisted, all became overjoyed. The devatas showered flowers while shouting, "Victory, victory!" and playing instrumental music. The inhabitants of Braj, its children, youths, and elders, made soft sounds in joy, which surpassed the sounds of the devatas. The evil snake's heart was agitated by the effulgence of Krishna. Longing to curb Krishna's pride, he stood at a distance, eager to accomplish his desire. His anger grew, revealing his naturally cruel nature. With great pride, he prepared to attack Krishna. Hissing and glancing harshly, he produced virulent poison. His body became as huge as a mountain. Bewildered, the snake flicked its forked tongue at the edge of its lips as if calling out, "I am a snake with two tongues. I am flicking my tongue." Desiring to be punished, he displayed himself everywhere. Like an expert snake charmer, Krishna began moving about with pride in order to seal the snake's mouth. The snake came close to him with his heads. Sometimes the snake would move far or would come close. With its tongue moving crookedly, it moved about everywhere and became tired. Though Krishna was eager to show his expertise at fighting this long snake, on seeing an opportunity, he caught the main neck of the snake with force and brought it under control. Having brought all the limbs of the snake under control, Krishna had the strong desire to dance on the dance floor of the snake's broad foreheads encrusted with jewels. Thus, with beautiful effulgence and eyes, to the accompaniment of music and song, he began dancing on the snake without the assistance of others, whose eyes were filled with tears. The flood of beauty from Braj, mixed with joy and astonishment, reached the heavens, and the sounds from Swarga reached Braj on earth. One could not detect which was the original sound and which was the echo. He then began to dance very quickly to the accompaniment of Shiva's drum, which gives the opportunity for pride in order to punish Kaliya. Jumping higher and higher, he crushed the serpent's heads. With anger and great pleasure, he danced excellently on Kaliya's head. Brahma and Shiva sprinkled flowers and shouted, "Victory, victory," while their hair stood on end. In joy they perspired. All the devatas began joyfully singing to accompany Krishna's dancing. Nanda and all the other living beings saw Krishna enter the mouth of Kaliya and then come out, offering arti with his life, and saw him dance with his toenails upon the heads of the snake. The joy in their eyes and bodies spread throughout the universe. It was astonishing that Krishna danced on Kaliya's heads and in the sky. Whenever Kaliya raised one of his heads in anger, Krishna beat it down with his foot to the rhythm of the music. Kaliya began to vomit blood and ooze poison from his eyes. His head with jewels askew was injured by the imprints of Krishna's feet. When his body became limp, he could no longer serve as the dance floor for Krishna's feet. Kaliya's wives saw him in this condition. First the snake was broken and then torn apart. He no longer had a proper form and could not move at all. He then surrendered to Narayan in order to stop the intense pain caused by Krishna. Kaliya's wives had great affection for Kaliya, since they knew he was opposed to the Lord. But seeing him with a sprout of devotion, they approached Krishna because of that. Placing their young daughters, sons, and eggs in front of Krishna, they offered him respects. Greatly desiring to appease his devotees, Krishna smiled. Repeatedly rolling on the ground, the wives pleaded with him in pitiful voices. The meaning of their words is summarized here. "This proud snake has no intelligence. We follow you, omniscient and full of mercy. If you have affection for us, then do as you wish. Those whose evil nature cannot be removed by your association deserve to be punished. See, this poisonous lake in front of us has immediately lost its poison due to contact with you. You show only mercy. What appears to be punishment inflicted by you is only our foolish misconception. If the serpent deserves punishment, and you were determined to give him punishment by any means, then why have you offered your lotus feet for giving him punishment? The snake must have performed many pious acts, and as such has received the touch of your lotus feet. We understand that you have touched him with your lotus feet in order to purify his body of sinful acts. Krishna, who showed great mercy by placing his feet on Kaliya's heads, which deserved to be crushed, and by marking them with his footprints, is our shelter." When the king of snakes became humble, Krishna accepted him with compassion, gave up his anger, and gave fame to Yashoda. When Krishna alighted from the hoods of Kaliya, who had been beaten by his feet, the snake, without displaying excessive prowess, remained with bowed heads. Krishna for some moments glanced at him with compassion, and then purified Kaliya's heart like the water in the Yamuna abounding with lotuses. When the snake had all of his faults removed, he gave up his anger and begged with folded hands. "I am sinful, but that is my nature. Whatever good or bad qualities I have, My success depends on you alone. What other accomplishment do I have than your feet being placed on my head? Therefore, please tell me where I can go." Krishna gave him the order, "O King of Snakes, fortunately, you have given up your bad qualities. Your birth as a snake is not beneficial to this world. O Serpent, you may not remain here any longer. Go back to the ocean immediately, accompanied by your retinue of children, wives, and other relatives and friends. Let this river be enjoyed by the cows and humans. Out of fear of Garuda, you left the Ramanaka Island and came to take shelter of this lake. But because you are now marked with my footprints, Garuda will no longer try to eat you. According to authorities, an R at the end of a sentence becomes Visarga. It is my opinion that a fool, Ripa, should leave the village because of contact with my foot. This is your punishment. Because your head is marked with my footprint, you will be known to have all good qualities in the future in Ramanaka. Having fallen down like a rod, the king of the snakes offered his head to the lotus hand of the Lord, which was just like nectar, and became free of all faults when his body was saturated with nectar. Shukadev Goswami has described Kaliya's later actions as follows. Kaliya joined his wives in worshipping him with great joy and reverence. Kaliya worshipped the Lord of the universe by offering him fine garments along with necklaces, jewels, and other valuable ornaments, wonderful scents and ointments, and a large garland of lotus flowers. Having thus pleased the Lord, whose flag is marked with the emblem of Garuda, Kaliya felt satisfied. Receiving the Lord's permission to leave, Kaliya circumambulated him and offered him obeisances. Then, taking his wives, friends, and children, he went to his island in the sea. The very moment Kaliya left, the Yamuna was immediately restored to her original condition, free from poison. Krishna rose up out of the lake wearing divine garlands, fragrances, and garments covered with many fine jewels and decorated with gold. When the cowherds saw him, they stood up immediately, just like an unconscious person's senses come back to life. What is great and priceless is called divya, but in this case, what shines on Krishna's limbs is called divya. The eternal items were present in the lake in the Yamuna. As the full moon rests among the constellations over the eastern mountain, the Kaustubha jewel among all eternal things shines eternally on the body of Krishna. The astonishing nature of the Lord, called He Who Has Garuda on His Flag, is not found in Dwarka. By logic, one can conclude that Garuda, having great powers like a devata, travels in the sky. If Garuda traveled in any other way, it would give trouble to other entities. How could that be approved by Krishna? When the Yamuna was touched by his feet, it became like nectar. Krishna's ornaments and clothing did not become contaminated by the gifts offered by Kaliya. The snake suddenly saw Krishna. Therefore, it is suitable to say, Krishna rose up out of the lake wearing divine garlands, fragrances, and garments covered with many fine jewels. The emotions on seeing Krishna are described. The people made a great noise, came quickly, developed slack limbs, quivered, spoke in broken words, and wept. But they could not be completely satisfied with seeing him. By their happiness on attaining Krishna, there was also grief. The inhabitants experienced complete bliss on hearing that Krishna was coming. But by this, their bodies and minds were not able to function at all. On seeing the symptoms of his friends, such as being stunned in all joints, hair standing on end, resembling boils, eyes flowing with tears, choked up voice, shivering such that the teeth made chattering sounds and were about to fall out, and perspiration which cleaved the body, Krishna became aggrieved. First, the black, white eyes of his friends filled with tears on seeing him rise from the water. Then their bodies began quivering as if they were dancing. When he embraced them, waves of joy appeared, such that they could not identify themselves to him. Krishna respected them all and made his mother, father, and friends happy. Because of this, they became stunned and experienced the greatest bliss. If the sages were not telling the truth, who would believe them? The cows and other animals, excited by Krishna's arrival, acted just like the inhabitants of Braj. The trees also had dried up previously from grief. Now, in great joy, their leaves and flowers began to blossom. When all the friends met with Krishna, conqueror of demons, certainly unprecedented love spread everywhere. When Yashoda, overflowing with prema, arrived, what can be said? All people simply melted. Thinking of his strength, Balaram was happy, but he had dried up internally because of the suffering of the people of Braj. Though that had happened, concealing his grief by his inscrutable nature, he smiled. Krishna smiled and embraced him for a long time. The people began to consider, if one attains Krishna in a dream, then grief concerning him also occurs in a dream. But if we attain Krishna in the waking state, we have attained our goal, and there is no obstacle to our happiness. In order that all could see him, they placed him in the center, like a lost treasure regained. He was like the sun amidst the planets, giving joy to the eyes of the devatas moving in the sky without shame. A multitude of men and women gathered, and the Brahmins, knowing the Vedas, invoked future auspiciousness and gave Krishna blessings. They then praised Nanda and instilled confidence in everyone. O Nanda, we repeatedly described your son who has killed many enemies. You desire to destroy all inauspiciousness. He has come quickly because of your pious acts. Having experienced both lamentation and joy, the people were unaware of the passing of time. Night had arrived. Having become thin because of affliction from extreme fatigue because of Krishna, who was beyond hunger and thirst, they stayed at that place till the morning. Fearing enemies, Yashoda kept her son on her lap all night. Completely absorbed in seeing Krishna's face with happiness, she remembered his activities with astonishment. Morning then arrived. Though they milked the cows, they did not give Krishna the milk. Although he was hungry, for fear that the whole place was contaminated with poison. During the night, Krishna performed another praiseworthy activity. When Kaliya was banished from the Yamuna, Kamsa heard the news from his spies. Overcome with anxiety, he became motionless. He began thinking, "Oh, all my warriors have been killed by that boy. An evil spirit with a face of fire, laughing, burns my assistants. Going throughout the universe, it dances." Though Kaliya was powerful, his strength was suddenly destroyed. I consider his banishment like his death, since we are now without any idea about what to do. We must do something, so that we are not injured and Krishna is destroyed. Kamsa heard from the other messengers that Krishna was on the bank of the Yamuna with the inhabitants of Braj. Hearing this, he ordered his nearby followers to go there, light a blazing fire everywhere, and then disappear. Following his order, they went there and lit a fire. When the forest fire began to burn the inhabitants, they quickly fled. They then began to think, "Some evil persons will catch us." With Balaram, they went to Krishna and reported what happened. "We are not afraid of death or a river of hardship, but we are afraid of not seeing your moon-like face." Krishna then extinguished the fire just by blowing, but sages fancy that he swallowed the fire. When the fire was created by scheming Kamsa, the fire was destroyed and they were saved from the calamity. When dawn came, they returned abroad joyfully following Krishna under his influence. On the way, Balaram entered the Yamuna and pulled Krishna in as well. Playing with their friends, they brought the cows into the water. After much fun, he allowed them to return. The return home is described. As the sun and other planets entered the sky, the inhabitants entered Braj, putting Krishna in the center and dancing without shame in great joy to the accompaniment of music, singing, dancing, chanting the Vedas, monsoon showers of flowers from earth and heaven, shouts of victory, victory, and a joyous clamor. They let the cows roam about. Though nothing had been protected, by the influence of the elevated persons, not even water containers were perceived as different from what they were before. Nothing could be rejected as inferior. Though the huge quantity of food cooked in ghee was old, it did not rot. Since only the food cooked the previous morning for Balaram's celebration was available, everyone took that food in the home, and putting Krishna and Balaram in front, without worries, they ate all the food. Having spoken, Madhukanta then concluded, "That child born to you, having subdued Kaliya, then subdued Kamsa and others." In this way, the inhabitants of Braj cross the two rivers of danger by the boat of Krishna. After experiencing the actions giving bliss, to conclude the story and shower sweet nectar of praise, the two reciters folded their hands and remained standing. After a long time, the inhabitants of Braj, serving Krishna by caressing and protecting him, returned to their duties along with Nanda.